Hello students, greetings from ACS Kaiga. The poem we have taken for analysis today is The Voice of the Rain by Walt Whitman. Walt Whitman was an acclaimed American poet and an icon. He has written on themes wide and varied. He was an advocate of democratic ideals all his life. His works include Drum Taps, Dramatic Vistas, and Leaves of Grass. This poem we have taken for analysis is from his poetry collection, Leaves of Grass. To start with, we can hear two voices in the poem, one of the rain and the other of the poet. It appears that the poet picks up a sudden conversation with the rain. Let's hear that.
"And who art thou?" said I to the soft falling shower, which, strange to tell, gave me an answer, as here translated. "I'm the poem of earth," said the voice of the rain. The poem opens up with a dramatic dialogue between the rain and the poet. The poet asks the rain as to who he is. It's so strange that the rain has understood and even replies in a language comprehensible to the poet. The poet attempts to construe the soft falling tone of the rain for the reader. It is interpreted as saying that he is the poem of the earth. Here, you may notice that the poet has chosen to use archaic expressions here and there, such as, "Who art thou?" "Who art thou?" is nothing but the present day, "Who are you?" He has perhaps chosen to do so to sound authentic. Students, please be on the lookout for similar such expressions all through the poem.
By the way, have you seen anyone addressing someone living or dead who is not present there? Such things are possible only in the poetry, isn't it? Addressing someone living or dead, animate or inanimate, directly is called apostrophe in literature. The spelling is same as the diacritical one we use for expressing possessions. Here, you may also notice that the rain appears to be speaking. Rain is an inanimate thing. So, giving an inanimate object a decisive human quality is known as personification.
You may also notice that there is an implicit comparison between the rain and the poem. It's quite unlikely that a natural phenomenon like rain and an intellectual phenomenon like poem can be compared this way. Such unlikely implicit comparisons are called extended metaphors. The rain continues to speak as to how unstoppable it is. Let's hear that. "Eternal I rise, impalpable, out of the land and the bottomless sea, upward to heaven, whence, vaguely formed, altogether changed, and yet the same." The rain continues to speak. It says that it rises from the deep seas and the land in an undefinable form, water vapor. It rises upward towards the sky and gets formed as clouds, completely different from what it was, but maintaining the essence of its being, despite being in another form. Isn't it so amazing that a very common occurrence like water cycle could be expressed so poetically this way? The subtle reference to the changing states of water from liquid to gaseous and back to its original form tells us how it is always possible to retain one's identity despite going through a rigorous process of change. Here, the expressions like "eternal I rise," "upward to the heaven," "bottomless sea," are overstatements, making these hyperbolic expressions. The rain continues. "I descend to lave the droughts, atomies, dust layers of the globe, and all that in them without me were seeds only, latent, unborn." Here comes the third stage of water cycle, wherein the evaporated and condensed water vapor pours down as rain. When it rains, they say, it pours. The rain comes down to fulfill the dearth of water, which is referred here as drought. Notice, this is yet another archaic expression. It washes away every tiny speck of accumulated layers of dust on the earth. It enables and nourishes the dormant seeds. The seeds without rain would remain hidden and powerless, waiting endlessly to come to life.
We get to discover yet another poetic device, asyndeton. It is the omission of conjunctions between certain parts of a sentence. Notice, there could have been an and before the last but one item in the list, as in droughts, atomies, and dust layers. There should also be another and between latent and born. Asyndeton is usually introduced in poetry, bringing the effect of speeding up the rhyme and making it a single thread of thought and a more memorable one at that. The rain continues to speak in full gratitude, and forever, by day and night, I give back life to my own origin and make pure and beautify it. The rain says that it keeps giving back to its origin, the earth. It replenishes its origin by purifying and beautifying it. Rain indeed proves that gratitude is an attitude. Giving back to the source can be a joyful and a fulfilling experience. You may notice, as the water is, so the rain is, and vice versa. Here comes the core of what the poet intends. How the rain qualifies to call itself the poem of the earth. Notice that these lines have been given within parentheses. In these lines, the poet draws parallels between the rain and the song. Let me read it for you. For song, issuing from its birthplace after fulfillment, wandering, wrecked or unwrecked, duly with love returns. The poet finds the rain and the poem similar in the following ways. Rain forms on the earth. Poem too gets formed in the creator's mind. Rain transforms itself into vapor from its original state. The idea transforms itself from the thought to expressions. The water vapor goes up and condenses. Similarly, the expressions collect up and get the form of a poem. The rain comes down to earth and replenishes it voluntarily without even being asked. Similarly, poem too, appreciated or not, gives credit to its creator without being warranted. As I told you already, the unlikely comparison between two things, the intellectual phenomenon, the poetry, and the natural phenomenon, the rain, can be considered to be the extended metaphor. Here, you notice yet another interesting device, parenthesis. Parenthesis is a word, a clause, or a sentence inserted as an explanation, qualification, or afterthought into a passage or a poem which is already complete. Usually, it is marked off by brackets, dashes, or even commas. Here, the parenthesis given at the end. For song, issuing from its birthplace, after fulfillment, wandering, wrecked or unwrecked, duly with love returns, is given within two brackets. It is meant as an explanation or justification to the idea of rain being the poem of earth. You can also notice that the entire poem is a descriptive expression that appeals to all our senses and imagination. We can feel the rain talking, falling, beautifying, replenishing. All these things appeal to all our senses, qualifying the poem for an imagery.
Students also notice that the poem hasn't followed any rhyme scheme. A poem without rhyme scheme is known as a free verse. This must have been done in order to indicate that rain and poetry can't be confined within any conventional boundaries. They flow free from their sources uninterrupted. You can also notice that there is no specific rhyme or meter intended by the poet. Let's sum up. Though the poem is a very small one, it's a powerhouse of images and striking ideas. The poet picks up an imaginary conversation with the rain. The rain calls itself the poem of the earth. It tells how it generates out of the deep sea and land, rises in the form of water vapor, condenses up above the world so high. It tells the poet how it pays its gratitude to the earth by purifying and beautifying it and also replenishing it. The poet justifies his stance of calling rain a poem by presenting a parenthetical tagline at the end. He says that rain is as much like the poem in the sense that it originates from a source, changes form, condenses and flows down, asks for or not. The way poem originates as a thought gets expression in the form of words formed vaguely in scripts and flowing down around the masses as a song, appreciated or not, getting its due credit and reward to the poet is much the same as the rain paying back its creator, even if she doesn't demand it.